crash of a glass into the ice bucket, the burble of the percolator, the sizz as a piece of meat is gently lowered onto the sizzling grill, these are the sounds of the diner. Plus the occasional strangled call for a bicarbonate of soda. It's Friday, July 7th, 2006. Welcome. Ah, what a week. I do not feel like doing squat, which is good, because my job description does not consist of squat. It would be rather, I don't know how they would post that in job opening. Would you be the squatter or the squatty? I don't know. All I know is that it's sort of been a vacation week, even though I haven't really taken one. Well, hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. James Lilacs, sitting at my usual accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Counter here at the diner out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. And nothing going on here at the moment. It's just high summer. High, perfect summer. We, of course, had all of the 4th of July celebrations. And after that, the entire month is an anticlimax. Poor July. Or maybe lucky July. The pressure's off. After the 4th, you know, you can coast. Coast all the way downhill until the state fair, which comes at the end of the summer in Minnesota. 10 days to tell you that summer's wrapping up. 10 humid, hot, sticky, fly-blown, hornet-infested days with the aroma of horse dung and other people's dung and all the rest of it. But I love the fair. It's great. It's good. It is our way. But that's a long ways away. It's not even coming up in the horizon. Summer is still strong, fresh, and new. Let's see what's in the menu today. The chalkboard by the door says Uncle Burgers. I think they're trying to go for the A&W crowd. If you're of a particular age, you recall the A&W drive-in. They may still have them for all I know, but they're not as common as they used to be. And they're not the same, dang it, because I'm older. Therefore, that which was in the past was better. Etc. There was one in Fargo. It was the height of dining experience in the summertime, and to go there as a small child and eat in your car was as exotic as it got. Particularly the mode by which the food was brought to your car, this tray with this really cool spongy orange webbing that would hang on the window. I'm not sure that they would invent such a thing today, because one wrong elbow hitting the power window device and everything's on the ground. Clean up in Bay 2, sorry about that. But the A&W was notable for two things. One, of course, the famous root beer, which came in these gigantic, heavy glass mugs, which would have doubled as a murder weapon, frankly. I'm surprised on those hot, steaming August nights you didn't have dads clambering out of the car with revenge in their eyes over some imagined slight in the next car, and fathers going at it in the parking lot, bashing each other about the heads with instruments of frosty refreshment, but they were peaceable times. Dads didn't lose their cool. Unless, of course, you spill the root beer down the back speaker of the car, in which case dad's cool was in short supply. But they had a proprietary line of hamburgers at the A&W, which I don't remember anybody really getting very enthused about any more than the fries, which were awful, but there they were, demographically pitched. Papa Burger, the Mama Burger, the Teen Burger, and the Baby Burger. The Baby Burger was small and I think came pureed in a cup. The Teen Burger, I don't remember. I think it had bacon and extra hormones or something. And the Mama Burger was probably no bun and lettuce and cottage cheese and half a patty or something like that for the diet conscious. In the 50s and 60s, diets consisted of eating a lot of cottage cheese, I guess. A substance which most resembles the thigh that you're trying to reduce. And the Daddy Burger, I believe, was two patties with an interstitial layer of bread toasted. Quite delicious. Yeah, they were okay. We remember the root beer above all. But the Uncle Burger, I'm not sure where they got that one. It sounds vaguely creepy. Billy, I'd like you to meet your Uncle Burger. I always thought, too, in the Perry Mason television show, Hamilton Burger was the bad guy. He was the district attorney, of course, who in his foolishness was always pressing cases against people who had hired Perry Mason. Idiot. The very fact that you hired Perry Mason in those days was an indication that you were utterly blameless. And I wish he had a better name. I mean, Lieutenant Tragg. That little gnome who was all nose and leering face. Drag. That's exactly what that guy looked like. He looked like a drag. But Hamilton has a certain patrician quality to it. But to follow it with burger, you know, it's I don't know. It's like watching, you know, a Mexican soap opera where the lead bad good guy is, you know, Alfonso Quesadilla or something. You just wouldn't take it seriously. Oh, these families just come in. Why? It's a nuclear family. I'm serious. I mean, dad, mom, two kids, and everyone is, you know, arranged according to height. Sort of. Dad's the tallest. Mom's about a head shorter, and then the kids, I'd guess, are 9 and 6. Two boys. Everyone's blonde. Kids have crew cuts, shaved necks. They're wearing identical striped shirts. Dan's got a hat with a hat. Narrow brim. Got fishing lures stuck in it. Mom's wearing a yellow dress, and she has a white purse. Wow. I didn't know they made them anymore. What did they drive up in? Oh, that's got to be theirs out there in the parking lot. It's, wow. It's a station wagon with wood panels on the side and luggage lashed to the top. Not with bungee cords, no, with stout rope. Wow. It's a typical American family on vacation. I am reasonably certain, too, that if I went out to the parking lot and looked at the back of their car, I would find a silver AAA sticker on their bumper. Dad just looks to me to be the kind of guy who would invest in a AAA membership. Or maybe he just bought the sticker. You know, maybe there are some gullible fools out there who are taken in by Nigerian spam artists who just sell them the sticker and tell them, yes, put the sticker on your car. They must come and give you gas no matter where you are. It is their code. And they think that'll do. I hope not. Anyway, looking at the menus, and Mom does not look too happy. She looks irritated and steamed. It's not over the diner, though. She's not looking around this place with a faint sniff of distaste. Something else is in her craw. Dad looks harried and sweaty. They're not speaking to each other. The kids, the kids are apparently very restaurant savvy because the first thing they did was flip over their placemats and start playing the kids' area games that you always have in the back of the placemats. Tic-tac-toe, little maze, word jumble, you know, cat with the letters rearranged, CTA. What's this one? Brain teaser. Usually you have in the back of that the mascot for the restaurant, you know. Curly says, or something like that, but there is no mascot for the diner. There was, but he was fired in 52. It's an interesting story. Moral charges were involved. Later dropped, I'll tell you sometime. Anyway, they look like they've been on the road a long time. They don't look particularly happy. Well, I'm glad they're here. I should find some vacation music for them, shouldn't I? Let's check the jukebox. G2.
No more pencils. No more books. No more teachers' sassy looks. Vacation rock.
Get away from it all.
Vacation rock.
Gonna have a ball.
Gonna step all night in the morning light.
Gonna do the vacation rock all night.
Take my gal down to the pool. Jump right in where it's cool, cool, cool.
Vacation rock.
Getting out in the sun.
Vacation rock.
Gonna have a little fun.
Gonna live it up. Gonna do it right.
Do the vacation rock all night.
Pass my test in geometry. Wanna forget that XYZ. Said goodbye to the study hall.
Just gonna goof off till the fall.
Every night about 5:30. Jump in my ride and drive, drive, drive.
Vacation rock.
Route 66.
Vacation rock.
Way out in the sticks.
Gonna find a place where the music's right.
And do the vacation rock all night.
Vacation rock.
A job mowing the lawn. Soon as I'm through, I'm gone, gone, gone.
Vacation rock.
Getting a tan.
Vacation rock.
Out in the sand.
Gonna swim all day while the sun is bright.
do the vacation rock all night.
No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers, sassy looks. Vacation rock,
gonna stay out late.
Vacation rock,
every night and day.
Gonna dance with my baby while the moon is bright.
Do the vacation rock all night. Do the vacation
rock all night.
Well, the waitress has come and gone, and I confess to eavesdropping as they place their order because I'm curious what this anachronistic American nuclear family is up to. The boys both ordered hamburgers with French fries and a Coke. Mom ordered, and I quote, a bowl of cottage cheese and an ashtray. And Dad ordered the double Uncle Burger with coffee. Black. And now he's getting out a map, and she's staring hot holes at him. She's lit up, too. She's not waiting for the ashtray. And he's looking at... They're lost. They're lost. I didn't think such a thing was possible in this day and age. We live in the era of the Eisenhower Interstate Freeway System, after all. It's designed to move families and people and freedom and prosperity and tanks, if it has to come to that. Anywhere in the land with speed and ease. You don't get lost. You get on the interstate. You drive your 9 hours. You get off at the allotted exit. And there you are. End of story. But of course, we're not by the interstate freeway, are we? That's old Highway 23 out there. And it's been in disuse ever since they built the freeway about 10 miles to the north. No one comes down 23 anymore unless they want to go to the town and to the west, or they want to stop at the diner, or they want to get a cabin at Lake Lilac. These people are lost. They got off the road somehow. They stumbled off the chute. And now here they are, wandering down the little capillary roads of America. We all know how this ends. A gravel road, an abandoned farmhouse, an inbred family, chainsaws, screams. Huh. Too bad they don't have a younger daughter. She would generally be the only one to make it out alive. I jest, of course. It is my way. But when I was a kid... I know. Again with when you were a kid. But, no, listen. I actually have a dim memory of what it was like before the interstates came along. Not just the ones that they built and I drove my motorcycle on in that wonderful summer of freedom. No, when I was a very, very small child, a zygote, all right, a blastocyst, but still fully aware, I recall a trip to Minneapolis from Fargo down Highway 10. And I don't remember much. I remember stopping at a cafe somewhere and with my cousins playing Henry VIII on the jukebox. I'm Henry VIII, I am, etc. And we all thought that we were very clever when we could sing along, but the oldest one of the bunch, who had obviously heard this song before, stunned everybody by saying second verse, same as the first. Man, now, he was cool. He knew things. But the road down to Minneapolis was two lanes, sometimes four, sometimes one. Those were the worst parts of them all, yeah. But it was studded along the way with various tourist attractions, the likes of which don't exist anymore, and most of which are gone. There is one that remains, Treasure City, in Royalton, I think. The sign is faded. It's got some big buccaneer grinning at you and telling you to come in, and the place is filled with junk. Junk! Leather coin purses, fake Indian crafts crap. It's just garbage, but of course kids love it, and it's you have to stop there. Or, if you're a canny parent, you have to speed up a little faster and then point to the other side of the, look over there in the ditch. Appears to be a jackalope. Dead jackalope. Then they'll look. And then you speed up and you get past Treasure City for another summer. But there were Deer Gardens, Deer City, Goat Villa, each one of these places was the same. You'd park, you'd go in, and it was maybe 10 years past its prime, even then, and you would find some flea-bitten, mangy creature standing around in a little coral, and there would be an old gumball dispenser. You'd put a nickel or a dime into that and get a handful of peanuts or food of some sort, and then you'd go over to these sad little creatures, and their velvety, wet muzzles would press against your hand as they gobbled up, and they knew enough to stop at skin, which was good, which indicated that they were getting plenty of food. And at the end of it would be the Indian. There would be some fellow of, shall we say, dusky ethnic extraction who had been hired to be the Indian for that summer, and there he would be with a big headdress, and you'd have your picture taken with the genuine Indian. And then off you'd go. One of those a summer was generally enough. But it wasn't just the tourist traps that made the road interesting. It was the curious signage. I mean, there's signage on the interstate today, of course, but it's usually telling you which member of the international chain franchise hegemony exists at the next exit. McDonald's ahead, 21 miles. Who could have guessed? But they're all fairly unusual in the small towns on the small roads on the old highways. Manny's Silver Lobster Supper Club. As a child, I always wondered exactly what a supper club was. I had visions of secret handshakes and passwords, and maybe it was up in a treehouse or something. Oh, the waitress is bringing the food. That was fast. And the kids are chowing right in, and the mother just lit another cigarette, and she's staring straight ahead, and the dad is still looking at the map. I wonder if I should go over and help them. That would be sort of insulting, wouldn't it? To him, certainly. She'd love it. Oh, she'd love it. If I walk over. Excuse me, you don't seem from these parts. Do you need help getting back on the main road? Because you really shouldn't. You really oughtn't. You ought to just take 23 as far as it'll take you. Where are you going? You going west? 23 goes west. At the end of the day, what's the difference? Yeah, 200 miles, right. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you might find some small little motel in an L shape with a where the soap is, it's Palmolive and it's very thin. They stopped making Palmolive soap like that in 1967, but they bought a lot, okay? And the sheets are thin and the rugs are threadbare and the quilt is nubby and the television gets three sets and you have to change the channel with the pliers and bang it on the side, but it's just different, And you want a water park? Well, there's a stream out back and maybe a swimming hole or something where the kids can break their necks. I don't know. Wouldn't that be a summer? Yeah, we got lost, and the kid broke the neck, and we had to go home. He had to be airlifted out eventually, and it was great fun. We all got a helicopter ride. So I'm not going to go over and say anything. Well, the place that I never got to go to, actually, in retrospect, was the Reptile Gardens. And I think it had to do with my mother or father's deep-seated dislike of reptiles, which was perfectly sensible. Who wants to go see reptiles? One is enough. Two, fine. But an entire theme park built around reptiles. The very word reptile just didn't grab any of us. But I remember one summer coming out of church and looking at a bumper sticker on a car outside a church that said, "We've been to Reptile Gardens." Because, of course, after you've been to these places, you had to buy the bumper sticker, which was in day glow, neon shifting hues, and slap it on the back of your car to tell the entire world that you'd driven somewhere and stared at a bunch of things sitting on rocks sticking out their tongue at you. Big whoop. But we had been to the Reptile Gardens, said the thing. And I asked my dad, "Can we go to the Reptile Gardens today?" And I remember his laugh because, of course, it was 400 miles away. The idea that we would do that was absurd. I'm also pretty sure that the reason that he said we weren't going to go to Reptile Garden and that was not even an option in the future was that the Reptile Gardens were in South Dakota, and there was only one reason to go to South Dakota, and we'd done it. And what is that reason, you ask? Well, I'll tell you, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Now attention, please, all passenger car owners. The Office of Defense Transportation has asked us to give you this message. This is National Tire Registration Week. To keep our American transportation system safe and working, the government is asking you and me to register all tires of passenger cars during the coming week. This means you register all tires of your passenger car, including the spare and any others you may have, without delay. For to get a new gasoline rationing book, or to keep the one you already have, you must register your tires first. You can get an official registration blank at your local rationing board, your garage, auto club, or at any filling station. Then, when you've listed all your tires, file your registration form with your rationing board. Or, if you live in the West or Middle West, present it when applying for your gas rationing coupon. Remember, the government ruling is you must register your tires or you cannot get any gas. So act tomorrow to register yours.
Forefathers went to trading post, three long days' journey, to get powder and shot.
Today I drive my Pontiac to town in a few minutes. to see the latest Paris gown.
Is this new Pontiac equipped with freewheeling?
Naturally.
Has it synchro silent second?
Of course.
Is the body by Fisher?
Certainly.
Well, apparently Pontiac has all the latest developments of automotive engineering.
Absolutely. That is why Pontiac is today the chief of values.
V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N. In the summer sun.
Put away the books, we're out of school. The weather's warm, but we'll play it cool. We're on vacation, having lots of fun. Park your car neath an August moon. We're on vacation till the start of the fall.
V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N. We're gonna have a ball. Go!
Okay, well, the wife lit another cigarette and then took the other one, which was already lit, in the ashtray and stubbed it out in the cottage cheese. Something's not quite right over there. I'm going to go see if they need any help.
Hi, folks. I'm sorry to bother you, but you look a little lost, and I wondered if I could help you. Where are you bound?
We're trying to get to the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center.
Really? Okay. Well, you're going to have to get back on the freeway. It's about 10 miles north by northwest. And then it's a straight shot for a while. But you'll see it. You can't miss it. You really can't. They're big and they're up there. Okay? You're welcome. No, just be happy to help. Just have a great drive. Drive safe.
I told you we were lost. I told you we didn't know where you were going. I told you that you didn't have the map on right. I told you this wasn't even the right state, but you didn't listen to me. No, you didn't listen at all. You said you knew exactly where we were going. And now here we are in a place that isn't even close to the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center. I don't know what to do.
Okay, I would not want to be in that man's penny loafers. It turns out they're trying to find the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center. And it goes without saying that we're an awful long way from that, since it's in another state. There are three reasons to go to South Dakota. There's the reptile gardens. There's Wall Drug, which pummels you every other mile with a sign promising free ice water. And you get there, and you have the ice water. And it's free. And then, of course, there are the heads. Mount Rushmore. There's nothing as simultaneously exhilarating and anticlimactic as the heads of Mount Rushmore. First of all, you've seen them before in pictures. You know what they look like. And you drive all that way, and you get there, and there they are. Farther away than you thought. And now what do you do? Well, you look at them through the binoculars, of course. You look at them closer. And now what do you do? Well, you have a meal, because you've come all this way, and you buy a souvenir. A little snow dome, a little leather coin pouch, something that says you saw the heads. I feel sorry for these people. I really... Wait a minute, I've got an idea. All right, so maybe Mount Rushmore is an awful long ways away. But that doesn't mean that the diner couldn't double as the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center. I mean, it's technically on the way. It's in the United States. We're close to several Dakotas here in Minnesota. I could make this the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center. But how would I do that exactly? How would I do that? Think. How do most people know the Mount Rushmore Visitors Center? Of course, they've seen it in a movie. They've seen it in North by Northwest. Great Alfred Hitchcock movie, Cary Grant. Let me check the jukebox here. Okay, all right, we've got some North by Northwest music. What happens? What happens in the Visitors Center? Eva St. Marie, I think, I hope I'm not giving anything away here, comes into the Visitors Center and shoots Cary Grant. That's right, she shoots him. So, and then, of course, he's not really dead, and so everybody's happy. What if I got one of the waitresses to dress up as Eva St. Marie? Believe me, there's a waitress here who comes to work all the time with these really stylish 50 gray flannel dress suits. I could have her come in and pretend to shoot the husband. And then, of course, it would all be a joke, and it would be just like in the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Okay, I'm going to go back and talk to the waitress. Set this up. She's going to come by with a gun, with a blank, of course, and shoot the husband, and then he'll be shown not to be dead, and it'll be just like it was in North by Northwest at the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center. And they'll have a laugh, and they can talk about it all the way through South Dakota in between Reptile Gardens and Wall Drug. Let me put something up in the jukebox here. I'll be right back. Set up. Now let me just turn on the North by Northwest music here. Here comes the waitress. Oh, she's really getting into this. She's approaching the table. No, don't run away, everybody. It's just a joke. It was all fake. Simulation. It was a... come on, guys. It was an homage, all right? Well, that didn't go exactly as planned. Although I'm not exactly sure what I was thinking, shooting a man in front of his wife and children. I better go take a look. He's fainted. Great. Buddy. Buddy, wake up!
What happened?
That's a good question. Well, I arranged a staging of a climactic scene of sort of a penultimate climactic scene of North by Northwest to make your family think and your wife believe that you had successfully taken everyone to the Mount Rushmore Visitors Center, where the shooting, which was not really a shooting, took place. Sorry about that. I thought it would help. Anyway, everyone's out in the parking lot. Your family's in the car. Still screaming, I guess. They got the windows rolled up. So you better go out there and tell them. But, you know, as long as you're here, and 1 minute of screaming isn't going to hurt them one way or the other, relax. I know it's been stressful. I know these trips are hard. I know the kids get on your nerves. I know the whole map thing is an insult to your basic chromosomal makeup. But you gotta use the map, man. You need the map. Learn the map. Love the map. Use the map, okay?
Okay.
All right. And listen, you're gonna be heading across South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And in between here and there, you're gonna come across Deer City, okay? Can't miss it. If you stick to old Highway 23, you'll see a sign. Guaranteed. It's going to look tumble down, all right? But you go in there, there's some deer. Kids will feed them. There's an old guy with a feathered headdress. Take some pictures. Trust me. Do it. Your kids will never forget.
Okay.
All right? Now, get out there, sport. Go see the heads. And there he goes, staggering off to do his manly duty, dragging the family across the plains in a hot station wagon on a summer afternoon. God bless him. Hey, he only ate half of his double uncle burger. I wonder if half of a double uncle burger cut down the middle instead of side to side constitutes a single uncle burger. Well, I'll cogitate on that at my leisure. I have the place to myself now for the afternoon, except for you, of course, and I imagine you'll be heading out. Thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for Friday, July 7th, 2006. We'll see you next week.
Rock all night!